Hey, I'm Darren, and I'm one of the pastors here at Focus 314. And before I get into the message, let me just say welcome. Like I said, this is my favorite place to be on my favorite day of the week. For everybody that calls this their church home, it's so good to see you again. For all of our guests that are with us today, let me just say, I hope that you're going to experience the prayer that I have every single Saturday night. Every single Saturday night, I pray that our church is going to be a church that is going to be fun for you. Anybody love have fun? Right? I love to have fun, and I want our church to have fun. I want it to be fun and not being a boring place that you go to. I want our church to be fun. But even more than that, I want our church to be a place where you can experience the power and presence of God. And so my hope for you today is that you will have fun, and you're going to experience God's power in a very powerful way. That's what my hope is, and I want to tell you that the message that we're in today, I believe, has the power to be very life-changing for you today. We are in the middle of a series that we're talking about temptations. We're talking about the stuff that we all struggle with. Anybody excited about that? Like, oh man, let's just talk about good stuff, right? Like, I don't want to challenge myself today. But that's the thing, is that so many times when we talk about temptations, man, we feel horrible. We feel guilty. We feel all of this nasty stuff inside of us. But here's what my hope is today. My hope for you today is that you're going to realize that God has a strategy for you to resist your temptations. And it's a strategy that is not going to be full of guilt. It's not a strategy that is going to leave you in a place where you feel bad about yourself. It is a life-giving strategy. Anybody ready to resist their temptations? Can I get an amen on that? I hope today you're going to be able to have these tools in front of you, that it's going to prepare you in a very life-giving way. Let's go to the main theme verse that we have for this entire series. So, if you think you are standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. Now let me talk about this real quick. You know, like that first word, or the first sentence that we see there. Man, you think you're doing really well, right? Like I got this. I've been away from that temptation. I've resisted that struggle for a little bit. But man, then I find myself going through the same cycle, right? Like we do pretty good for a little bit. And then all of a sudden, oh man, I just fell into it again. You know, for me, one of the pictures that I have in my mind of falling actually happened quite often when my wife and I were first married. When Jen and I first got married, I really got into mountain biking. I loved cycling. I loved everything about bikes, pedal power, all that kind of stuff. But I don't do it very much anymore because my wife only allows me to have one expensive hobby at a time. Like, so when I was cycling, oh, you got an amen on that. Like, she's like, Dave Ramsey. Yeah, all right. Okay. But like when we first got married, I'm in cycling and I'm doing all this kind of stuff. And I was like, hey babe, I think I'd like to golf too. No. She was like, no, you're not doing that. Only one expensive hobby at a time. Now I got sneakers. That's all I got. I don't get to do anything else, right? Like, that's my expensive hobby right now. So, but when we first got married, I was into cycling and I was riding mountain bikes. And here's what I want you to know. I was horrible when we first got started. Like, I was really, really bad at this. My wife doesn't know that. Because I'd come home and I'd be like, oh, babe, I was awesome today. You should have seen me. I'm like, well, you know, like all that stuff. But I was really bad at it. And here's the reason why I was bad at mountain biking. Is because mountain biking, you're not just on the road, like you're out in the dirt in the wilderness, and there's obstacles, there's roots and logs and rocks and all that kind of stuff. And here's what happened when I was on my mountain bike. Man, I'm sitting there and I'm pedaling away and I see a rock in the path ahead. And my thought was, don't hit the rock, don't hit the rock, don't hit the rock. And so you know what I did? Bam, right into the rock. Every single time I'm like, don't go to it, don't go to it. Boom, right into it. Like, how did I do this? Every single time I'm looking at the rock, don't hit the rock. I hit the rock. It didn't matter how big, how small. Every single time I hit the rock. And that's exactly what happens to us in our temptations, is that we're sitting there thinking, don't do it. I don't want to do it. You know, like maybe you're in one of those in places where you're struggling to drink. You know, you're like, I don't want the beer. But I think to myself, don't have the beer, don't have the beer, don't have the beer. And the next thing you know, you got the beer in your hand, right? Like then, or like maybe you're in a place where you struggle with keeping your eyes and your mind pure. And you're like, then you see a girl in a bikini. And you're like, oh, there's a girl in a bikini. Don't think about the girl in the bikini. Don't think about the girl in the bikini. Now you're like, oh, great. Now I got a girl in the bikini holding a beer riding a motorcycle, right? Like, that's where you're at. That's where you go to because that's what you're thinking about over and over and over. But God has a plan for you. We're going to learn to be able to change our focus and change what we're thinking about. Let's continue on in verse 13. See, my God is faithful. Come on, somebody. See, my God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when, not if, but when you are tempted, we're never going to be above temptation. We're all going to be in a place where we're going to feel tempted. When you are tempted, he will also provide, come on, everybody say it together, a way out. God is going to provide you a way out. Today, we're going to talk about the strategy that God has for you to provide a way out of your temptations, to help resist the temptations that we have. And I'm so excited about this. It's such a great life-giving strategy for each and every single one of us. Let's look at Galatians chapter 5. We're going to talk about this a little bit today. It says, so I say, and this is Paul speaking here. He says, so I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. What are the temptations that we have? They are the desires that our flesh has, the sinful nature in each and every single one of us. How do you not gratify them? By walking in the Spirit. If you walk by the Spirit, you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. We can all relate to that, can't we? Right? Like there's things that we know we shouldn't do. There are things that we don't want to do, yet we find ourselves doing them, right? They're in contrary to what we really want. Like maybe for some of you, you're married and you're like, I don't want to yell at my husband anymore. That's not my desire. I want to be life-giving to him. I don't want to be one of those nagging wives. That's not the desire that you have. Yet every time you're like, why does he leave his socks on the floor all the time? And the next thing you know, you're blowing up at him and you're yelling at him. And even in the middle of yelling, you're like, why am I doing this? I don't want to yell at my husband. But yet you find yourself going back to it every single time, right? It's in contrary to what the Spirit wants. Or maybe for some of us, we got a little bit of weakness of these little things that is like a chocolate, like graham cracker cookie, and then there's like this white filling, and then there's this another graham cracker on top of it. And then they make these things that are they're double stuffed with that in there, and then they got the triple stuffed, right? And you're like, I don't want that, but I really do want that. And this is like, it's actually like the perfect picture of heaven because it's black and white coming together in unity, right? In perfect unity. Like, this is fantastic. But you're like, I don't want it. And then you take one, and the next thing you know, you've eaten the entire sleeve, right? And like that last one, you're like, I know I shouldn't do it, but it's in the milk and it's so delicious. And it's contrary. Isn't it contrary to what the Spirit wants? We want to be able to live out the right life, yet we keep finding ourselves going back and gratifying the desires of our flesh. So how do we stop doing that? How do we resist temptation? We walk by the Spirit. Okay, great, awesome, right? You can go home. Yeah, how do you walk by the Spirit? What does that look like? This is a fantastic verse, but how do we walk by the Spirit? Well, that's what I hope that we can talk about today. See, I want to give you some strategies today to not give in to your temptations, that you don't have to gratify the desires of your flesh, the sinful nature that you have. But today we want to be able to change your focus. Instead of just thinking about not doing something, don't do the wrong, don't do the wrong, don't do the wrong, we want to change our focus and we say, let's do the right thing. Let's focus on doing the right thing. Let's not focus on the temptations that we all have. Let's focus upon the Holy Spirit, and let's focus upon walking by the Spirit. So the very first thing that we want to do, if we want to learn how to walk by the Spirit, is we need to learn to depend on the power of the Holy Spirit. Now let me pause real quickly, because a lot of times when I begin to talk about the Holy Spirit, sometimes that's a weird concept for us. If you're church or non-church person, it doesn't matter. A lot of times it's like, that's a hard concept. Like, let's talk about the Trinity, okay? The Trinity, we got three in one, you know? Like, even if you're a non-church person, you're like, I've heard that before. It's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Okay, I get the three in one type of thing. I don't know exactly how that looks, but I get the concept, right? And then, okay, let's break that down a little bit. God the Father. Okay, I have a concept in my mind about God the Father, right? Like, maybe it looks like Zeus or something like that for you, you know? Like, he's big, on the throne, beard, lightning bolt, whatever. You have a concept of God the Father. God the Son. Okay, I got a concept of that, right? Like, that. Okay, that's Jesus. I've seen the pictures, white robe, blue sash, cross, whatever. You have a concept of who that is. I got a concept of God the Father. I got a concept of Jesus. But the Holy Spirit, that one's a little bit harder to conceptualize, right? Like, that one is like, I don't necessarily get that. Like, I remember when I grew up in church and I was sitting there the one time and one of my leaders, I was like, I don't know, 12 or 13. He's like, okay, let's all draw our picture of the Holy Spirit. And I'm like, how am I supposed to do that? I don't know. The concept is hard for us to get, isn't it? So then what does that look like? What does that look like? And who does the Holy Spirit look like for us? More importantly, what does he do for our lives? If we're going to depend upon the power of the Holy Spirit, let's talk about the Holy Spirit just briefly. I just want to give a brief overview of the Holy Spirit. In fact, here's what I want to encourage you to do. If you want to know more about the Holy Spirit, if you want to know more about what I'm talking about, then here's what I would encourage you to do. Let's go to the next slide real quickly. I'd encourage you to go to our next steps. We believe that everybody is on a spiritual journey, that God has given a journey for us, and there are steps along that journey for us to be able to go through. And we actually talk about the Holy Spirit more in depth during Next Steps. Next Steps happens every single Sunday during this service, during our 11:15 service. Pastor Jonathan, one of our pastors, he actually facilitates that. And today, they're actually talking more about the Holy Spirit. So if you want to just get up and leave and go over there, that's fantastic. Go ahead and do that. Or if you haven't walked through that before, then I would encourage you, go ahead and be part of Next Steps. There's four different steps that we talk about. And wouldn't you know, a lot of times there's 4 weeks in a month. And so step one, step two, step three, step four happens during the middle of the month. And so I would encourage you to find out more about what I'm talking about in Next Steps. Let's go to Acts right now. What is the Holy Spirit and who does he look like and what does he do for us? Very briefly, this is really something that's powerful. Acts 1:4, Jesus is sitting here and he says, on one occasion while he, Jesus, was eating with them, the disciples, he gave them this command. He said, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father has promised. That's powerful right there. Understanding that more than anything, the Holy Spirit is a gift to us. He's a gift to us. Which you have heard me speak about, for John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So here's what happens is that when you say yes to a relationship with Jesus, that it simply is this, that if you believe in your heart that he is Lord and that Christ raised or that he was raised from the dead, if you believe in your heart and you confess with your mouth, then you're saved. That's it. I mean, it's that easy. You just simply say yes. Yes to a relationship with Jesus. And in that moment, something miraculous happens. All of a sudden, the power of God resides within you. The baptism of the Holy Spirit, that's something that's bigger, and we can talk more in depth about that. But in this moment, the Holy Spirit actually resides within you. Powerful, powerful moment. You're not in this life alone anymore. You're not walking through this life anymore all alone. Powerful moment. Holy Spirit, though, still, what does he do? How does he help us? How do we become dependent upon that power? All right, let's talk about it again really briefly. What does the Holy Spirit do? Number one is this. He convicts us of our sins. He convicts us of our sins. Man, I was just studying for this message, and one of my baristas, yes, they're my baristas, my personal baristas. He came up to me, and we're sitting there talking about the Holy Spirit, and we were talking about how the Holy Spirit convicts us. And he said this. He's like, oh, he's like the OG Jiminy Cricket, like the original Jiminy Cricket. Anybody remember Pinocchio, right? Like Jiminy Cricket's the little guy sitting there saying, you better not do that. You know, like he's the conscience. That's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is saying, hey, don't do this. Do this instead. Don't do wrong, do the right thing. The Holy Spirit convicts us of our sins. Powerful, fantastic, wonderful that he does that. He wants us to be better. That's really what it is. He wants you to be better. He created you for an amazing life. He wants you to experience the abundant life that he has. That's why he convicts us of our sins. The second one that you can see right there, he comforts us in our pain. I was just having a conversation last week, sitting around. Many of you might have been here. We had our potluck, last potluck of the summer. Oh, I can't wait for next summer to be here. Some more fries, fried chicken. So good. You guys were sitting here. Many of you might have even seen me. I was like over the trash can. Don't look at me. That's so crazy. Anyway, comforts us in pain. I'm having a conversation with somebody last week who had just lost their mom. And she's telling me the story is when she's sitting there right in front of the casket, that all of a sudden she began to feel something. And she said, you know, all of my life I've prayed for people when they've lost a loved one that they will experience peace and comfort. And as I'm sitting there saying goodbye to my mother, all of a sudden an overwhelming sense of peace came upon me. And she thought, it's the Holy Spirit providing more peace than I could ever imagine after I just lost my mom. No matter what pain you're going through, when you're dependent upon the power of the Holy Spirit, he's going to comfort you. The Holy Spirit comforts us in our pain. The Holy Spirit counsels us in our need when we need wisdom. You know that we got a business deal coming up. I don't know, should I go down this direction? Should I go this direction? Gives us wisdom. How do I speak to my kids? How do I speak to my spouse and doing this? And the Holy Spirit gives us wisdom. He counsels us in important matters. This is something that's very important right here. A lot of times when we think about the Holy Spirit, it's this kind of ambivalent it, right? Like it's just out there, you know, and you're like, but no, the Holy Spirit is a he. It's he. It's a person of God. There's God the Father, he. God the Son, he. God the Holy Spirit. It's a person. We express that as talking to a person. The Holy Spirit is not an it, is a he. And then the last thing is that we need to learn to depend upon his power. This is very important for us to learn to depend upon his power. You're not in this alone. Let's look at Romans 8, 12 through 13, and this is so good. It said, therefore, dear brothers and sisters, those of us that have made a commitment to follow Jesus, when you've done that, you have no obligation. You are not obligated to do what your sinful nature urges you to do. See, many times we think, oh, I had to do it. I got these desires inside of myself. If God didn't want me to go down this path, he wouldn't have given the desires to me in the first place. No, we're all born with a sinful nature. And when you've said yes to Jesus, you no longer are obligated to go with that urge. You no longer are obligated to live that way. You got a boyfriend or girlfriend, right? Like you're in that dating mode and you're hanging out over at their house and you're over there and you got an urge, right? You got an urge to merge is what you do, right? You are in no obligation to follow through with that urge. Like, well, everybody else is doing it, so I might as well do it too. No, you don't. You don't have to do it. You are in no obligation to follow through with that. And then you say, well, what's going to happen if I do? I'll tell you what's going to happen. For if you live by its dictates, if you continue to go after what your flesh desires, you know what's going to happen to you? You're going to die. Like, man, I'm pretty serious about this. You know, like, hey, let's be honest. Like, seriously, if I sleep with my boyfriend or girlfriend, I'm not going to die, right? Like, I'm not going to just, like, croak right then and have a heart attack, right? In fact, let's just be honest about it. Sleeping with boyfriend and girlfriend, it's kind of fun, isn't it, right? Like, it's kind of fun. Let's just be, can anybody agree with me on that? You're like, yeah, I'm in church right now. Like, what's she talking about? This is not supposed to say that this is fun. Let me tell you something, okay? Sin can be fun. And if you're not, how many have ever had fun sinning? Let's see your hands. Let's go ahead and see your hands. Okay, the rest of you, you are liars. Either that or you were doing it wrong, okay? Like, sin can be fun. I'm just going to be honest with you right now. We all know that it's fun. It's fun to be able to do those things for a season. for just a little bit. See, sin, it thrills, and then it kills. See, sin is not something that you really want to mess around with. Sure, it's a great time. Some release, you feel fun, all of that kind of stuff. And then it's going to bring you to death. I like to say it this way. Sin is a lot like a big old sneeze. Because it feels good coming out, but then you got snot everywhere. You've got snot all over the place, and you're like, oh, I got a mess that I have to clean up. That's exactly what sin is like. It's going to be a whole lot of fun. It's going to feel good when it's coming out, but you're going to have a mess on your hands afterwards. You want to sleep with your boyfriend or girlfriend? I'm going to tell you right now, it's going to be a lot of fun, but you're going to have a mess in your relationship that you're going to have to clean up. Not only in that relationship, you're going to have a mess in the future relationships that you have. You're going to carry all that baggage with you till you finally get to a place of marriage, and you're going to carry all that with you, and it's going to be a mess. You can actually have death to your relationship if you want to mess around that way. There are other sins that we give into all the time, and we're like, you know what? Gambling a little bit, that's a little bit fun. It gives me a little bit of a high, and all of a sudden, you become addicted to it, and there's hurts and habits and hangups that you're sitting there going back with, and now your finances are a mess, and they're all messed up, and there's death to your finances, and pretty soon, the sin that you thought was fun is all of a sudden destroying everything that you thought was valuable around you. It's going to destroy and bring death and intimacy to your wife, to your husband. It's going to bring death to the intimacy you have with your kids. It's going to bring death to the intimacy that you have with God. That's what sin is going to do to you. Don't live according to what your flesh urges. You're not obligated to live that way anymore. Instead, God has a better way. Instead, we become dependent upon the Holy Spirit. Let's finish out this verse. But, that's a very powerful word right there. But if through the power of the Spirit you put to death the deeds of your sinful nature, come on, somebody. You got life. You got abundance. See, John 10:10, man, if you call this your home church, you know that's one of my favorite verses. John 10:10 says that the thief has come to kill, steal, and destroy. What is he going to destroy? He's going to destroy your marriage. He's going to destroy your relationships. He's going to destroy your finances. That's what the thief has come to do. He's come to sell you false satisfaction. That's the temptation that we feel. It's not going to be real. It's going to be fleeting for us, and he's going to destroy everything that you ever wanted. But I, Jesus, has come to bring you life and bring it to you in abundance. Come on, somebody. Who wants to be able to live an abundant life today? Because that's what it means to be dependent upon the power of the Holy Spirit. Because what you want to do is, instead of focusing on the temptation, you need to change your focus and put it upon the power of the Holy Spirit. And when you put your thoughts and your ideas into the power of the Holy Spirit, you're going to put death to the deeds of the sinful nature. I mean, you're going to starve out those desires. What are you feeding your soul? Don't get me started, because that's going to be next week. You want to come back for that one. Oh, my goodness gracious. That's going to be powerful. I'm going to tell you, this is powerful. Next week is my favorite. Next week's my favorite of this entire series. What are you feeding your soul? You got to change your focus. Instead of being just upon your temptations, don't do it, don't do it, don't do it. No, I want to become dependent upon the Holy Spirit. And when temptation comes your way, it's an opportunity for you. It's an opportunity to say, oh, God, I need to become more dependent upon you. I need you in my life. Let me tell you something right now. I am not as strong as my sinful nature. I am not as strong as my flesh. But greater is he who lives in me than he who lives in the world. Greater is he who lives in me than myself. I don't have to rely upon myself. Who do I rely upon? The power of the Holy Spirit. You got to learn to be dependent upon the Holy Spirit. And let me tell you something about me, my wife, where we've been, and when it's much easier for me to depend upon the Holy Spirit. It's when I'm surrounded by fellow brothers and sisters in Christ who want to see me go in the right direction. When I'm surrounded by people who want to lift me up instead of tearing me down. When I'm surrounded by people who say, man, you know what? I want the best for your life instead of trying to bring me down to the worst, which is why we talk about community groups so much in our church. Community groups are vital for your life. They're vital for you and your walk with Christ. To become more dependent upon the Holy Spirit, surround yourself with other people who are going in the right and the same direction as you. See, we don't have community groups here because we're just like, oh, that sounds like fun. Like, let's go ahead and hang out with some other people on a very busy night, right? Like, we all have busy nights, and let's go ahead and take time and go do that. That's not the reason why we do it. Why do we have community groups? Because I want the best for you. I don't want something from you. I want something for you. I want you to become a fully devoted follower of Christ. And I believe that happens when we're surrounded by a community of believers who want to build us up instead of tearing us down. For you to become more dependent upon the Holy Spirit, it's so much easier when you got other people around you who are tracking with you. And I can tell you that for Jenny and myself, you know, when we haven't always been pastors since we've been married. We've been just sitting down in the seats and all that kind of stuff. And we always had the, you know, whatever church, so you call them different things at different churches, right? Like small groups, life groups, all that kind of stuff. It's all the same thing. It's just groups, right? We call them community groups here. That's what we just call them. And we've always said, you know, we need to do that. We need to get involved with some people, like build some relationships with people. And we've done that. And then we also had times when it's like, oh, man, life is busy right now, right? And then I'm thinking, we didn't even have kids. What was so busy? There was nothing, man. Had nothing to do. But it's so busy for us. Oh, man, we got this and that and, you know, and what are we going to do? And so then we don't go. Oh, we just, you know what, we know it's good for us, but man, it's a really hard season. Got this thing coming up and this work and we just can't. And the next thing you know, you don't go one time. You don't go another time. Then all of a sudden we're in the habit of not going. And then Jenny would say, and this is how it goes, Jenny would say it, you know, like, hey, let's go. I don't want to go to that. I'm the one that's dragging us down. And then all of a sudden, I find myself in a place where I'm not as close to God as I was before. All of a sudden, I find myself in a place where I don't want to serve on a Sunday morning. I don't want to go help out at, you know, something that's going on at some organization that's helping feed kids. I don't want to do that. I got things to do on Saturday. Hawkeye games at 9 o'clock, right? Like, I don't want to do that. Like, I'm not doing that. And all of a sudden, I find myself being much more selfish. And then all of a sudden, things start getting weird in our marriage, you know? Like, we're fighting. We're fighting a lot more. That's what I should say, you know, more than we do now. Because I'm going to tell you something. Man, my wife's a little firecracker, right? Like, don't get her going. Ooh, man. She's sitting there like, we're going to get into it later on today. This is what's going to happen, right? Like, man, we would fight so much more. And then we'd ask ourselves, what's going on? What is happening? What is going on in our relationship and what's going on in our family? We stopped hanging out with people. We stopped hanging out with fellow believers. We stopped becoming more dependent upon the Holy Spirit. We started becoming more selfish. It's all about me, not all about Christ. How do you become more dependent upon the Holy Spirit? I'm going to give you one really easy way to do that. Get around people who want to see you become everything that God has created you to be. Get around those people who want to be able to challenge you. We want to see you strive to become everything that you can be. How do you become dependent? And how do you walk by the Spirit? Become dependent upon the power of the Holy Spirit. You're not in this thing alone. You got people. You got the Holy Spirit with you. You're not in this thing alone. The second thing, how do we walk by the Spirit? Number two is this. We need to follow the prompting of the Holy Spirit. We need to follow the prompting of the Holy Spirit. Let's go look a little bit further down in Galatians chapter 5. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires, right? That's what we're talking about, resisting temptation, getting rid of the sinful nature, resisting passions and desires that we have. Since what? Since we live by the Spirit, since we're walking by the Spirit. So let us keep in step with the Spirit. If you want to walk by the Spirit, you got to keep in step with the Spirit. Okay, how do we do that? Let me paint a picture for you. An easy way for us to be able to follow the promptings of the Holy Spirit and keep in step with the Holy Spirit. So when I graduated high school, I went into the Marine Corps. And I'll tell you, for me, when I went into the Marine Corps, I had no intention and no desires when I was growing up. Like, I wasn't the kid growing up who was wearing camouflage and playing, like, guns all the time. That wasn't me. It was just one of those decisions that I went to. And so I went into the Marine Corps. And then in the Marine Corps, everybody, once you graduate boot camp, everybody has to go to this thing called the School of Infantry. Because for the Marines, everybody is a basic rifleman. Even though I was in the air wing, like I worked on with aircraft and electrician. I was an electrician for aircraft stuff. That's what I was, which basically means I played Marine on TV. You know, like, so don't think I'm a big bad guy up here. I'm not. I was an electrician. You know, I'm looking, working on little circuit cards. That's me over here, a little nerdy guy. That's what I did, okay? But everybody's a basic rifleman, which means that I got to be able to learn to shoot. I got to be able to learn to handle myself if I had to go into combat. And so that's what School of Infantry is all about, to teach you some of those basic ideas and tenets of if we went to war, okay? So during the middle of School of Infantry, I was one of the squad leaders of my platoon. And then we had a moment where our platoon was going to go have a war game with another platoon. All right, so they got this battlefield, you know, with, like, there's woods and hills and all that kind of stuff on one side, and we're on one side, and then on the other side is the other platoon. And so we go and we march out to this place, and then we got to set up our camp, which really means that we had to dig foxholes. That's what I meant. I mean, we had to dig a big, huge, massive hole. That's what it was. And I got to tell you something. I got really, really lucky. Like, I don't, like, maybe I got put into a place where there was a foxhole already, because me and my buddy, there's two in each foxhole. Like, we're digging this thing, and it was really soft ground, and we're just boom, 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 and then we're done, and then we look over, and the guy beside us, they're toast, man, and they're, like, that far into the ground. We're like, ah, we're really comfortable. We're going to take a nap. Like, it was really nice. I'll just tell you, like, that was really fun for me on that moment. But during the middle of this war game, The sergeant comes up and says, hey, okay, we're going to go on recon tonight, and we need to be able to scout out to see where the other platoon is at, and we want to know what's going on. So your squad was picked to be able to go on this recon. Okay, great. What do I do? Like, I don't know what to do. Like, I'm not a guy who grew up this way, and he's like, you got to figure it out. Thanks, man. Appreciate the vote of confidence, right? So, like, I know it's the middle of the night. It's dark outside. We've got to be able to follow this riverbed to go over to where the other platoon we think that they are. So I'm trying to be stealth. I'm trying to be quiet. And I got this whole squad behind me, right? So what do? Like, you guys have seen movies before, right? Like, you're doing, you know, like, you got to give hand signals, all that kind of stuff, right? So I'm sitting there. I'm the squad leader. I got a guy that's the navigator. He's got the map beside me. He's kind of filling me in on what's going on, and then I'm supposed to communicate this to the rest of the squad. And I'm giving hand signals, you know, like, you're over here, and then you over here, and then I'm sitting there doing the Macarena, you know, like, I don't know what I'm doing. I have no idea. They gave us one little class on this thing, and the guys have no idea what I'm talking about either, and we're just stuck, and we're just sitting there, and we're like, what are we going to do? But then something amazing happened. All of a sudden, I began to use hand signals that the rest of the guys got to know. And they could understand what I was talking about. And so I'm giving them hand signals. And pretty soon, all of a sudden, we're actually going along at a pretty good clip. And we're moving through right next to this riverbed. And we're going around this like little hill, you know, and where we think that the platoon is going to be, and we're moving, and we're like, man, this is stealth mode. And I'm thinking, man, we're bad. Like, oh, this is amazing. I'm like Rambo or something, you know. And so we're moving around, and all of a sudden we come up on the platoon. We come up on this platoon, and we didn't come just like to the front of the platoon and see where they were at so that we could just scout them out, right? We didn't come up to the front of them. We didn't come up to the side of the platoon where we could flank them and be able to get rid of some of them. No, no, no. We came up behind the platoon. We had moved all the way around, and we had done it so quickly that they had no idea that we were going to be there. And all of a sudden, instead of us just going on recon, and we're sitting there and we realize that they have no idea that we're there, all of a sudden I was able to communicate with the rest of our squad. They went around to the rest of the foxholes and we're all sitting there and all of a sudden, pop, 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 pop with our blanks and everything. And we lit them up and it was fantastic. And I want to tell you something. I was awesome in that moment, right? Like, it was so great. I felt amazing about myself. It was so quick that they had to actually restart the war game because of that moment. That's how quick it was. And see, what happened in that moment is they had no idea what I was communicating to them at first. A lot of times when we're sitting there saying, okay, I've said yes to Jesus. I have a relationship to Jesus. The Holy Spirit is living inside of me, but I have no idea how he's prompting me. What does that even look like? And then all of a sudden, the more and more that these guys understood what I was saying, and the hand signals that I was giving them, the more confident that they were, and the faster we were able to move. And the exact same thing happens to us, is that the more time that we spend with the Holy Spirit, the more we understand how he is prompting us, how he is speaking to us, how we can keep in step with the Holy Spirit. And you're sitting there like, okay, that's all fine and dandy for you, Mr. Pastor Man. That's all fine and dandy for you who works at a church and you got Bible stuff degrees all over the place. You know, you probably got the entire Bible memorized. That's all fine and dandy for you. I live in the real world. I got a real job and I got real problems. How is this supposed to work for me? You know, like God doesn't just speak to me audibly like I'm sure he does for you. And I would challenge you to say this. He does. The Holy Spirit is going to prompt you. When you say yes to a relationship with Jesus, the Holy Spirit will prompt you. And so here's my challenge for you today. I want to ask you and challenge you. I'm going to give you some homework. Document it. Document when you feel the Holy Spirit speaking to you. Track it. Write it down. Take your phone out and say this, boom, this is what happened. For example, maybe you're driving to work. And all of a sudden you got worship music on and or K-Love, Air One, whatever it is, you know, and you hear a song. And you're in a place where all of a sudden that song, it just ministers to you. It fills you with life. You're like, oh man, I desperately needed that this morning. Ding, ding, ding. The Holy Spirit in your life prompting you. Write it down. Track it. You're at work. You get to work and you're walking to your office, your cubicle, whatever it is, and you're walking by that really annoying person's cubicle, right? Like, you know who it is. You know, I don't even have to call it out. You know exactly who I'm talking about. Like, oh yeah, that guy. I do not want to talk to that guy. That guy is annoying and it's going to take me forever if I sit there and talk to him. So you're trying to be all stealth getting around him, and all of a sudden you get right back and you're like, you know what? I need to go back and just see how his weekend was. I don't want to. I got stuff to do, but you know what? Let me just let him know that I care about him. And you sit down and say, hey, how was your weekend? And 30 minutes later, you're able to leave his cubicle, you know, but at that moment, that person needed to know that somebody cared about him. It was a prompting of the Holy Spirit to just make yourself available to somebody. What does it look like to be prompted by the Holy Spirit? How about you do this? How about you actually take a moment, take 5 minutes, and just pray, God, give me some names of people to pray for. I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. I promise you this is what's going to happen. It's going to be like name bombs are just going to be dropped all over you, man. You're going to be like, pray for this person, pray for this person. You need to pray for this person. You don't even know what you're praying for. But names are just going to keep dropping down on you. You know what that is? That's the prompting of the Holy Spirit. And it's not going to be 5 minutes because it's going to be the fastest 10 and 15 minutes that you've ever spent in prayer before when it's not about you, but it's about other people. Just start praying. Who do you want me to pray for? God, who do you want me to pray for? And you're going to be prompted by the Holy Spirit. Write it down. Begin to track it. And then you know what's going to happen? All of a sudden, you're going to be like, the Holy Spirit does guide me. It's like the Holy Spirit does prompt me. The Holy Spirit does guide me. And you're going to become more confident in those movements. You're going to become more confident in the promptings. You're going to be more confident keeping in step with the Spirit because you've already recognized it before in your life. And then pretty soon you're going to be moving faster than you ever have before. Pretty soon it's going to be a life that you had never imagined before. And there's going to be moments in your life, in your day, when you're going to be sitting there and all of a sudden you feel like, you know what, I need to go talk to this person while I'm in the middle of Walmart. I don't want to do that, but I know that the Holy Spirit is prompting me and it's going to be able to minister to somebody who's going to be in need in that moment. You're going to be driving along and all of a sudden a name's going to pop into your mind and you're going to pray for them and it's going to keep them away from a tragedy that was getting ready to be in their life because you're going to be prompted by the Holy Spirit. How do you do this? How do you resist temptation in your life? Get your focus off of the temptation and put your focus on the Holy Spirit. You need to put your focus in something completely different. Stop focusing on what I shouldn't do. Focus on what you should do. And here's what I'm going to tell you. All of a sudden, your life is going to be so full. You are going to be full of the Holy Spirit, and you will no longer want to go after the desires of your own flesh. You're never going to want to go after those temporary satisfaction, the false satisfaction that we're promised that we know is just going to leave us hungry later on. You are going to be full of the Holy Spirit. How do you resist temptation? You got to change your focus. Stop thinking about the negative. Go towards the positive. I'm going to tell you something right now. I want to clarify it by just saying this. I am an imperfect person. I am fully human and man. And I am tempted and I fall into those temptations and I sin. I'm not just a perfect person. Some of y'all are looking at me like, no duh, right? Like, we've hung out with you. We know better, right? like maybe I'm a little too authentic at times. Okay, I'm sorry about that. But I am imperfect. But I can also tell you this. I have never been in a place in my life where I have not dealt with temptation in the way that I never have before. I'm not as tempted now as I ever have been. I don't deal with it as much. Not because I'm perfect. Here's the reason why. I have never been more hungry for more of God in my life than I am today. I have never in my life wanted the Holy Spirit to fill me every single day than I ever have been before. I am in a place right now, and you can talk. You talk to the staff, talk to leadership, and they'll let you know, like, man, that's what I talk about every single Tuesday. Guys, you got to be more hungry for God. I want to be a church that is known as being hungry for God. I want to be a church that is known as saying, man, we want to be after the Holy Spirit in our lives. I want to be a church full of people who want more of God in their life. A church that is focused on God and not on what's wrong with this world. I want to be a church that is focused not on the pain, not on the problems, but in the one who can solve all of the pain and all of the problems. I want to be a church full of hope. I want to be a church full of love because that's who God is. He wants to fill us with that. And that's the reason why. Why all of a sudden the temptations and all of those sinful desires, why are they getting put to death? Because I'm filling myself with the Holy Spirit. Because I wake up in the morning, I grab my phone and I say, man, this is the daily verse that I share with some friends of mine. This is also the daily prayer journal that I'm going through. And I go through all of those different things. I'm sitting in the shower. You guys have heard me this. I'm sitting in the shower every single morning. And all of a sudden I have a time of submission to God. God, I pray that you will fill me today. I pray that the meditations of my heart and the words of my mouth, that they're going to be pleasing to you. And that's what I want to be able to start my day off. I've never had a time where I'm more hungry for God. And because of that, I'm giving death to those sinful desires, to the gratification of my flesh. You want to be able to resist temptation? You need to change your focus. Stop looking at just the negative. Fill yourself with the Holy Spirit. Frankie, you want to come on up? Fill yourself with the Holy Spirit. Now, I got to tell you something. That's a strategy straight from God. That's a strategy where he's saying, you know what? It's death and destruction. This world is messed up. And you don't have to give in to the lie. You don't have to give in to the lie that this is going to satisfy you. You don't have to give in to the lie, well, this is just who God made me. He says, I'm here. I want to fill you. I'm here. I want to give you life. I'm here. I want to give you freedom. You don't have to live in fear. You don't have to live in your temptations. You don't have to give in to your sinful nature and all of those desires anymore. In fact, you don't even have to give focus to them anymore. You want to know where real power is? It's in the Holy Spirit. And wanting more of Him in your life every single day. That's my hope for myself. That's my hope for our church. That we can be a church that just wants more of God. Just more of God. Be people that want more of God. To be filled with more of God. And you will no longer be obligated to the urges that your flesh has. Church, can we please stand together? Because I want to pray for you today. I want to pray for you today. I don't want you to have to deal with the temptation and those urges. I would love for you to be able to resist all of those temptations, not to fall into that cycle and live in those hurts and those habits and hang-ups anymore. My hope for you today is that you experience the hope of the strategy that God has for you. Don't focus on that anymore. Don't focus on not doing it. Focus on doing the right thing. Focus on the Holy Spirit. Focus on Jesus being your Lord and your Savior. And maybe for some of you in here today, that's your first step. Admitting that you're weak so that His strength can be made perfect. Inviting Him into your life so that He becomes your Lord and your Savior. Well, what does that look like? I said it a little bit earlier, but you just simply say yes. And you believe in your heart. And just that yes is a confession. Jesus, I need you. I don't want to fall into this trap anymore. I need you. I want you to become the Lord and my Savior. And you just simply say yes. Maybe for some of you in here today, you don't want to do it anymore. Whatever the temptation, whatever it is that you've been falling into, and you're like, man, I keep telling myself, don't do it, don't do it, don't do it. And you find yourself doing it. You got to have a change in your thinking. A change in your focus. Don't just think about not doing the wrong thing. Start thinking about doing the right thing. Focus on the Holy Spirit. I'm going to pray for you right now. And I hope that even in your own heart that you can say this prayer as well. That there is going to be lives that are going to be changed today because Jesus is here. And at the end of this, I'm going to say amen. And Frankie's going to be able to lead us into a song where we just say, you know what, God, I'm all in. It's not about me. It's all about you. Let's pray together. Jesus, we come before you today. So thankful that you have given us a way out, that you are faithful, and that you continue to provide a way out for us. And God, I want to pray today for everybody in this room that we can have a change in our focus. Jesus, I accept you as my Lord and my Savior. I say yes to a relationship with you. I need your help. I can't do it on my own. I am weak, and I need your strength in me. And God, I pray that from this day forward, I can change my focus and I can change the way that I think and I can put you first and foremost in my life. God, I just want more of you in my life. Amen.